You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Old, New, Borrow, Blue. The Everton podcast to try to bring a little bit of cheer to the world of the Toffees when there's not much to cheer about on the pitch. But anyway, we won't really go into that. I'm glad to be joined this week by Jack Carlisle, Blue Rumour and all-round top and stylish guy. Jack, as you always kick off on this show, can you just tell me what your first game was or the first game you remember, or if it's the same one, both, up to you.
So, yeah, the first game I properly remember going to was Everton versus United, the 4-3 last minute defeat. Sahar and Van Nistelrooy up front for them, and 3-0 down, and the comeback game. I believe it would have been 03-04, I think, around that time. It was definitely Moyes. Yeah. But I spoke to my dad a few weeks back, and I had been earlier than that, but I couldn't remember the game. So some research took me back to the 90s. And took me back to 27th of Feb 1999, and it was a 1-1 draw at home to Wimbledon. You probably will have gone to it, Les, but I've just done a bit of research around the lineup. So, in goal, Thomas Meira, a back five of Ball, Watson, Weir, Unsworth, Materazzi. Midfield three of Barmby, Decor, and Oster. And then up front, Cadamartri and Jeffers. Jeffers being the one that got the goal. And the only thing I can remember was that we were in the main stand and how loud it was. So it was, yeah, the late 90s was my introduction to the Toffees in a low-scoring draw.
And a classic Walter Smith back five.
Absolutely. Yeah, with one sub being Michael Branch as well, coming on for the last 5 minutes.
Christ, do you know what? I would have been at that. I assume I would have been at that game because I had a season ticket then, but I cannot remember it for the life of me. Nothing about it. But at that time, it might have been a bit later, we did get to a stage whereby sometimes we'd be in the pub and just think, should we just stay here?
Hi.
If the weather was particularly bad and it was, say, Borough or Bolton, I think Wimbledon would definitely have fell into that category. Just swear it, just stay in the pub. Yeah.
I think the only other thing worth mentioning about that game was the goal scorer for Wimbledon being Efan Okoku. He played in a front three with himself, Jason Yule, and Marcus Gayle.
Christ.
So it must have been around the time Wimbledon dropped out the top flight, I think.
Yeah. But Efan Okoku coming back to haunt us after scoring four for Norwich a few years earlier.
And Robbie Earle being in the middle of the park for them as well. That dates it as well.
God, yeah, grim days then. I mean, we've not known anything but grim days, really. Even that Man United game you talk about, I mean, you know, things were relatively okay then. But to come back, like, to 3-3 against United, did Kevin Kilban get the equaliser?
Kevin Kilban scored a header.
Yeah.
And it was down the street, unbelievable. Then. I think it was from a free kick. I don't know. It was Gravesen, my memory might be failing me here, but I remember thinking at the time, this is actually insane. And then I can't remember if it was a penalty or not, because I might be getting confused with the last day of the season, 0-2-3 against United.
Yeah, that's the one I'm getting confused with as well. I think, yeah, I can't remember, but it was just like, I've got a feeling that even when we brought it back to 3-3, I still thought we'd lose.
Yeah.
Not only was it Everton, it was like Ferguson's United teams.
Yeah, and I just remember at the time, like, Sahar, that was when Sahar was, like, on fire for them as well.
Yeah.
I think it was in that period where, like, they were pushing Van Nistelrooy out the door a bit. But, yeah, just, like, classic Everton. So, yeah, my first game a draw and the second game I can vividly remember a late defeat.
Good times, all round.
Absolutely.
Right, let's get into these players then. So, I am happy to be talking about this player because he was just... He's just one of the best we've ever had. Well, the best I've ever seen, to be honest. I was talking about him on Saturday to my mate. We were talking about if you could have one striker from the 80s, one striker from the 90s, one 2000s and that. And he was undisputably the one I'd pick from this period. So who's your favourite old player?
So my favourite old player is Yakubu. I think a few people have mentioned on the episode so far is there seems to be a pattern with when you're 15, 16 is when, like, you'll have an attachment to a player and it, like, it's one that stays with you. So even though, obviously, Lukaku will be certain sort of a vintage and will undoubtedly go down as our best ever Premier League striker, for me, the attachment I had to Yakubu was probably when I was most, like, obsessed with Everton. Going pretty much whenever I could.
Yeah.
And it was around that Moyes vintage as well of like 07, 08, where like it was as good as really as we've had it. And I remember at the time it was always that element of Moyes' teams are great if they could just get a decent striker to push on. And even though it was only brief that we had him when he was fit and firing, that season when he come in and bagged, I think, 19 league goals, it was just like, it was like nothing else because we'd had decent players before it, but certainly no one that could just like pass it into the back of the net like he did. And you know, when you look at what we're watching now and you go back then and it's just like, it's so stark, just the difference.
As soon as you saw that like he was going to be your choice for like your favourite old player, I immediately started thinking of like the state of our attacking options now. And I was looking back at his goals, like just a YouTube compilation, and I'd say 90% were in the 6-yard box, 100% were in the area somewhere. Yeah. But he was just always in the right spot to either nod it in, just tap it in, or as you say, I've never seen a player pass the ball into the net like he could. He'd just do that. The amount of times he'd just do that little feint to throw the defender off and then just roll it in.
The corner. Yeah, it was almost like that trademark that he had. And I remember even like the opening day win against Bolton when one of the few times he paired Johnson with Yakubu and he scored like a tap-in. Johnson had done all the hard work down the right-hand side, cut back across and squared it for a tap-in. It was like that was him up and running then. A couple of the highlights, the perfect hat-trick against Fulham, still to this day. Like one of the best hat tricks I've seen. And the second goal, I believe, when he feints to shoot with one foot, sends two defenders sliding past him. I think one of them was Stefanovic, and then passes it back across the way he's just come. And then he also scored the hat trick against Brand, where he does a similar goal.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking
of. Three or four of them. And then also the goal against Portsmouth, when he done that shimmy inside pass. Sol Campbell, and if you remember, it hits like the stanchion, and the ball, when you look at it coming from the camera, like how hard he hits it past James, and you're like, this fella was ideal, and it's just a shame that it was as fleeting as it was, because I think if he could have stayed fit, I think like things might have been a little bit different, but I also just thought, I just enjoyed every minute of watching.
Yeah, it's like I would recommend anyone to just go back and have a look at that like sort of showreel of his Everton goals or all of his goals really, because he's just such a cracking player to watch, and he just fell foul of that 09 curse, didn't he?
Yeah,
because again, like Jagielka, like Arteta, he was injured with no one around him. He just turned, well, he just landed funny on his ankle, didn't he?
Is it a White Hart Lane? Was it
Yeah. Did his Achilles, and that was it. Then he was kind of done for, which was such a shame because he was just a wonderful player to watch. Now, do you reckon? I mean, I feel that's the sort of player we need now, who just hovers around the 6-yard box and is in the right spot at the right time. Mm. And I know now, and I think Moyes always used to want a striker to do this, but never really. So it makes it more surprising that he signed and played Yakubu, really, because he likes his players to run the channels and all that, which is what Calvert-Lewin does, which is what Beto tries to do. But none of them are in the right place at the right time, or if they are, they fluff the chances. This fella was always in the right place and very rarely missed when he got a chance. And I just think he probably would have been called lazy because he didn't move. He didn't run a lot, but he just get in the right position. And that in itself is a massive skill that not many players have.
I think another underrated part of this game, like for me, as well as like just the impeccable like touch and finish, was he was actually very good at like playing football. Like the amount of like triangles that had come between, like, I know people talk when they say about P&R, Fellaini and Baines with the overlap, but prior to that, like, some of the football we played into his feet and then have him runners off him, because he was as strong as an ox. He had a really good low centre of gravity, and he kept hold of it and would always find a pass. He was never sort of someone that it was like bouncing off his shins or taking like four touches to trap it. It was always just in tight, and then you'd have to foul him or he'd pass it and then he'd move towards, as you say, between the posts. And I think the thing is, I do understand the sort of the criticisms that I don't think necessarily he was the most forward with the pressing and stuff. But I think, like, you look at some of the chances I've had this season, and some of like the sitters like wouldn't have been a question, and then even some of the half chances I think he would have took. And yeah, I just think he was one of them players that I think was appreciated whilst he was there. And I think what I found interesting about his sort of career after he left us was we let him go on loan, didn't we, to Leicester, and then he went pretty much bagged one and two there. Yeah. And it was like, well, he's dropped down a level. It isn't what you're going to do. And then he went to Blackburn. And do you remember that season after? And I'm pretty sure at the time we had like a whole host of like bin men and Kale up front. And it was that period when we couldn't score. And he went to Blackburn and I think did one and two there.
He got 17 and 30.
Because I think we thought, or Everton Moyes had basically said, I think he's done. Like, Achilles, like, he had that brief spell when he come back, scored against Stoke, and then sent Raul Morales halfway down County Road, didn't he, with the 2-0 derby victory.
Yeah.
But then post that, it was like, I think he thought, he's gone past it. And then I remember I went back the other night and watched some of their goals he scored for Blackburn. It was the same thing, albeit a little bit more limited in movement, but it was still the same, finishing off either foot.
Yeah, because that was the period, I think, where it was around a time where we didn't sign a player properly for about 2 years, wasn't it? And we had no strikers. So, it does seem a baffling decision.
Yeah, it was like the days of Delios and Drenthe, wasn't it? I think 2010 or 11.
Yeah, mad. But yeah, he was just a wonderful player. And not even underrated, because I think everyone rates him really highly, whoever watched him. And we all, it's one of those players where everyone goes, God, he was good, don't half miss him, I wish he'd like had a bit longer.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. He's not one that people go like, we didn't appreciate him. I think people did. I just think it was circumstance, very Everton in nature. But I feel like the time when he was on it, I don't think, certainly not in my lifetime, obviously, till we got Lukaku, it was different again. I don't really remember having anybody like that growing up. Like, I grew up sort of 99, 2000. So it was like latter days of the Jefferson-Campbell partnership. Then it was Ferguson up to like the days of like Brzezinski and then Rooney. But in terms of someone that was just consistently scoring goals, it was him.
Definitely. We'll move on then to your favourite current player. This is someone who divides opinion, and I don't really know why, but we'll get into that next. So who's your favourite current player?
Yeah, so with this was probably the quickest decision made, and it's Pickford. I just feel like, for me, there seems to be the misunderstanding of him as a character, as a person, but I feel like he's the only one in our team, for me, that you can clearly look at, with maybe the exception of Branthwaite now, and go like, yeah, most teams in this league like would probably take a look at him.
Yeah,
I feel like his level of consistency since the, I think, got discussed last week, didn't it, about when he got dropped for, well, not Mark Nelson. Was it Mark Nelson?
Yeah, it was, because I remember his kicking. Because Pickford's kicking was always like pinpointed, and he used to kick it like sky high and come down that, with snow on it.
Yeah, so after that sort of the thing with Ancelotti taking him out the firing line after the pulling tongues against Newcastle, I don't really think he's looked back. He's had the odd mistake, but then every other keeper in the league, you could go, well, I'll pull a player up, find the keeper and say, he done that then. And I just think, like, in terms of how he's been for us throughout, not like untouchable, but certainly for me, there's been nobody that's had that level of consistency and of quality performance. And I don't know why people can't take to him. And I don't know if it is because he's a bit like out there as a personality, but certainly for me, like, I don't get the criticism at all.
Yeah, I mean, especially from like Everton fans, I think it has dropped off a lot more lately. As you say, you know, he's had a good what, 2.5 years of being solidly consistent, not arsing about like he did against Newcastle. None of that. So, I mean, obviously he winds them up still when he can, but anyone would. If it was us playing for Everton against the Reds, or anyone, you know, we'd be full of it. Like, so it's, you know, you can't really knock him for that, because it doesn't affect his performance now. The thing that really baffles me as well is the England perception. So I think it was Barney Roney tweeted today or yesterday something about his England team. He's being like, oh, look at me and my journalist just being a bit pithy here. And he said something Stone, something Trent, and then, oh, and I suppose Pickford. And it's like, why did he need to have that little dig? You're putting Trent in very heavy inverted commas here, and you're saying, I suppose Pickford. You know, he's clearly an international class player.
And there's not been a question now, because I think the reason it's gone quiet is because people have realised that all of the pretenders to the throne are absolutely on the pants. Like, and how many years he's seen off people that are supposedly going to be, they're going to nick Pickford's. And who's it, like, how many has it been? Has it been Butland, Sam Johnstone, Pope, Ramsdale? Like, there's probably more if you keep going back, like, since he's been comfortably England's, but like, and also, like, I'm no great England fan, I'm really so indifferent, but he'd done everything he could do to win that Euros, didn't he?
He should have won it. He should have a medal in his back pocket now. As a keeper, to make two saves and a shootout and not win. It's like...
And just in general, I've never really understood the overall criticism about, like, the height thing as well. I feel like that's a lot more overstated.
He's 6'1".
Yeah.
And, you know, the goals are no bigger than they were 50 years ago. You know, Southall was 6'1". It didn't do him any harm. I know players are bigger now. I know you've got more like 6'5", 6'6" players, but if you're
they're also more protected than they've ever been.
Yeah. So, it's not an issue. And I think you just got to look at the saves he makes, like the outstanding saves he makes that are now pretty routine. And he could basically have his own save of the season competition.
Quite easily. I feel like a lot of it is because of how much we've struggled over the past few years. So people just assume, well, if you're like that, all your players must be last. Well, it's like, well, that's a separate issue. But Pickford certainly isn't that reason, because Christ knows, like, if we wouldn't have had him in goal over the past few years, and you would have replaced it with another calmer, safer keeper, as was the shout a few years ago.
Yeah.
We'd have probably gone down twice, because I don't feel the level of drop off from him to Joe Average, with the rest of the team being as poor as they are. I don't think we could afford that. And that's why for him to have stuck around as long as he had. Like, I don't have a bad word to say about him.
No, I'm exactly the same. One thing I want to pick up on about him then, is this, I've not spoken to anyone about this, but it's something that's been doing me head in for a while. It's this thing where he's like, he's walking out of his area and he's kind of acting as like, not just a sweeper keeper, but a playmaker.
Yeah.
Now, I think that's testament to how bad the rest of the team is that he feels he needs to do that. It's testament to how bad the rest of the team is that he probably is the best playmaker we've got because his passing is better than anyone. But it's just concerning me now that he's going to get caught at some point. Because he's going to knock
someone.
You can see
it. They're going to fuck it up. See it coming at one point.
Yeah.
Someone's going to nick it and it'll be like the Rooney versus West Ham in that trick game. Someone's going to put it back over his head. You can see it. Because it's like each week it's seemingly a couple of yards further forward, isn't it? Particularly at home.
It is. And yeah, you just wonder if that's something from the manager or whether he's taken it on himself. Either way, I hope it stops because he will get caught out.
Yeah.
And it will be horrible because he'll get all the blame then and the pile-on will begin.
And then they'll all start again and they'll be saying, like, David James, the son of David James. It'll be something like that, won't it?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, he's 29 now, so he's got a good few years left in him. But Harry Tyre has gone to Chesterfield and is doing really well.
Yeah, I believe
So that could be someone. And I think when Virginia's come in the last couple of games, he's come in, he's looked all right as well. I don't think any of them would be close to Pickford.
No. As long as none of them do like, throw a Turner, then I think we'll be fine. I think, like, the likes of Virginia, he's as good a number two as we've had. I always thought Mooka was quite solid, you know, in terms of the spectrum of like old men, kids, like fellas that were never going to get a game, like Hanneman. Like, I feel like we've had the whole spectrum of number twos, haven't we?
Yeah, including Westerveld somehow.
Yeah, Robin Olsen, that was the fella's name.
Robin Olsen, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he went to the
Olsen, the West Brom centre half, scored a goal. Against Everton in that 1-0 defeat, wasn't he? Do you remember? I think was it second season, Martinez, when we had, I think, 28 shots. It was one of them. And I remember because it was the park end was like peppered second half, and like it was that West Brom sort of 5-4-1.
And he's another one to add to the list of those fellas who've done nothing but score against Everton once.
Absolutely.
But yeah, you will get no arguments about Jordan Pickford from me. Not at all. Right, so let's move on to your favourite borrowed player, who is...
Landon Donovan. So I think it was listening to Gab's one and he mentioned about it's difficult to have your borrowed player be someone that went on to join permanently, and I completely agree. So otherwise, I feel like you'd get a lot of Lukaku's, Arteta's, and P&R's. Like, you realise how well we have used the loan market in the past. I think, was it P&R from Dortmund, Lukaku from Chelsea, and Arteta? Was Arteta Rangers, or was he Sociedad?
I think he was Sociedad at that
time. Sociedad. Had he been to Rangers the year before?
I think so, yeah.
So, yeah, I racked my brains, and then I thought, well, we've had a few fleeting players. Like, I always liked the look of Ferrari, but it was nowhere near enough sort of a... period of games to make a judgment on. I think he suffered the injuries. And then we've had, obviously, people like Lassina, Traore, who were in and out the door. And then...
100% goal record, though.
You can't argue with that.
So, and then, you know, people, just stats don't lie.
Yeah, exactly. And then also, obviously, like the likes of like Ruben Vinagre, who disappeared and no one would have known. Like, he's probably still got his... scanning pass for Finch Farm, like nobody will have done an onboarding thing with him.
And then you got to wonder about El Ghazi as well.
So these people definitely would still have, they're probably still getting paid.
I reckon he's still available, El Ghazi. Yeah. He still hasn't got a club, you know. McNeil's
after the weekend, I'm not saying no to any previous wingers. I was looking before to see if John Oster was still playing because he needs to do something, but yeah. In terms of wingers, though, I feel like if we had this fella in his prime, like, we wouldn't be having a tenth of the problems. So I like the man of Fernandez shout, but for me, I just remember that Donovan first loan spell. It was like, we now have pace because as well as there was the thing with the Moyes teams of the strikers, there was also the thing of good footballers, but there's no pace in the team. So, like, if teams sort of, if teams were to, like, not sit in and try and push up, we'd need someone to try and, like, break it. And it was always like we had Osman paying our wings and Cahill and Arteta and Carsley and Yak. So we had good ball players, but we didn't have anyone that could sort of just literally hit the line. And I remember when he come in, and for that first sort of 10 or 12 games, it was like he doesn't really complicate anything, but he's just such a useful part of the team. And I remember thinking, like, this is what we've been missing for years. Because I used to think, like, why don't we just sign, like, a Ramadal? You know, like, just somebody.
Yeah.
It's just to hug a line.
Yeah.
And when he landed, I was like, this is it now. Like, notwithstanding the sort of the marketing side of it, I just thought, he's everything we need in a winger.
I know. It was sad that we didn't sign him. I think when I spoke to Rob, because Rob said, you know, the obvious thing for him would have been to have said his favourite lone player was Landon Donovan with the American thing and that. And he said that Rob said the thing for him was he kind of wasted his career in America. So he started off at Leverkusen from 99 to 2005. Actually, sorry, he was in 99-2000. He was at Leverkusen 2, Electric Boogaloo. And then he went to...
Like the reserves.
Yeah, then he went to Leverkusen 2000-2005. Then went to San Jose Earthquake. Then went to... And then went to LA Galaxy, where he spent the majority of his career. But he could have done it in Europe. Probably should have done. And certainly could have done it at Everton. And it is just a shame, you know, because what he brought to that side, I was surprised at how good he was. Because I just...
Oh, like, it was nuts. Because I think there was that... He'd had the period of Bayern, hadn't he?
Yeah.
Where I think he'd flop, basically, and it hadn't worked. So I think people were like, is he just, like, big fish, small pond, or, like, is he actually that good? And I remember, like, it probably was only 9 or 10 games, but I remember, like, in most games, he was one of our best players. I think he definitely got player of the month in the Jan, I remember that. And I just think, like, what he offered us and what he offered that team at the time was absolutely ideal. And it was just another one of them sort of beautiful things that, like, it happened and then it didn't. And then the second one, a little bit like Fernandez again, it just wasn't quite the same. I think it was like, was it 2 or 3 years later?
Yeah, it was 2012. So 2 years later, he played 7, didn't score any in that time though. And it was still
Moyes, wasn't it?
Yeah, still Moyes.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think how much the team had changed.
Well, because 2010...
By then, we're getting sort of late days Moyes, aren't we?
Yeah, so 2010 would have been the likes of Rodwell, because I remember when Donovan scored in the 5-0 against Hull, I think. And I remember Rodwell, like, picking him up, and I think it was when Arteta was, like, ridiculous, like, and he scored that free kick, and that team was obviously mint.
Yeah.
The 2012 iteration, I can't remember, like, how much we were struggling then. I'm not sure, because we wouldn't have had Morales or anything, would we?
No, it feels like one of those seasons where we got off to a terrible start and probably didn't win till, like, the end of October 2012. Yeah. It feels like that. Let's have a look who was in there then. So we had... Oh, 2012-13 was the night kit, the second night kit.
So Steven, Naismith, and Jalovic, yeah, and Gibson.
Yeah. Francisco Jr. as well.
We'll always have
that. Yeah, it was players like that. Barkley was in there.
Yeah, I remember... We must have got him back on a similar deal.
So it's not a bad side.
Yeah, we must have got him back from a similar deal from Galaxy, but I just remember at the time, it just wasn't the same. I don't know if the need wasn't as great or it just didn't fit as well as it did the first time. And I think a lot of it was because the first time, the rest of the team was ready-made and it was just a plug-in and play. Like,
yeah. As you said, that team had a lot of good ball players, but not a lot of pace.
Yeah.
So that's probably why it was ideal for him, because he would have been the outlet, wouldn't he? I suppose in this team, we did have Morales as well.
Yeah.
He could have been easy to play with, to be honest.
Oh, good Lord, no.
But yeah, the team's just not quite the same. So probably why it didn't work. But I say, if we had someone like him in now, I don't think we'd be struggling quite like
that. I think he was just someone that was wasn't overly complicated, not to damn him with faint praise, but just someone that like did his job perfectly and knew his strengths. And I think there's a lot to be said for that.
Yeah, I think he's another one who's just sort of gone down like Ikuvu, just like everyone just really liked him and thought he would get good.
Mate. I think you realise the level of player we had then, like the criticism, it's like the criticism Osman or any of them used to get. You realise the level we were at then to now, just on like a player by player basis. Like, it's a chasm, isn't it? Like, it's absolutely massive, but just the overall level.
Yeah. So just on that, do you think it's because football's changed a lot in that time? So, a lot of people were sharing around the 2006-07.
Oh, I've had it on the loop.
Goal of the season. And some of the goals, they just don't hit that. I mean, at the risk of sounding like an old man shouting at the cloud, they just don't hit them like that now, do they?
No. I think football has changed. I think certainly, like, the rise in intelligence and the rise of, like the likes of Pep's Barcelona and stuff and all of, like, the stats will probably say this is the best way to do that, this isn't the best way to do this.
Yeah.
But I feel like overall the level just seems to have dropped. And I don't know if other fans of other teams could look back and say, oh no, it's the same for us. It's just that you don't have as many sorts of players. Like, because on that video, there's like two guys. And now you couldn't imagine two guys, like a 35-year-old, like centre mid that couldn't run, like playing in a game on Saturday, could you?
No.
And I don't know, like, because obviously at that time, like, they were like mid-table. I know they ended up going, but like they were playing, and they were playing at a level. So I don't know.
I know. It's a tricky one. I think I did prefer it then, though. Not going to lie.
Oh, God, yeah.
Definitely. Right. Away from the football then. Looking forward to this, but no. Let's get on to the blue category. So in this, it is your favourite Evertonian, famous or otherwise, or your favourite thing about Everton. You've chosen a famous Evertonian who is...
Lee Mathers.
What a shout.
So when this come up, this was the hardest one to pick from. So I wrapped my brains thinking of actors, of like the people I know, like my dad.
Got to be an honourable mention to Steve.
Exactly. You've got to give him a shout out, haven't you? But I also was like, well, there's got to be some musicians. So then it was like, I knew the like the Shane McGowan quote and stuff. And I was like, well, who else is there? And then it comes to me. I was listening to the album last week and I was like, how had I overlooked them? So, yeah, it's an album that sort of, as much as he might not like it himself, I still absolutely adore. Yeah. And I just think as an all-round sort of an individual, a musician, the mystique around him, everything around him, it's just pure and utter heaven.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could like sort of say, you know, the album's only revered as much because it's so enigmatic and the story behind it. So for people who don't know the story behind it, basically, Lee Mathers was perfectionist to a fault about this album, to the fact where they recorded and recorded and recorded and recorded it. He still wasn't happy with anything they did. The record label basically got the tapes and just released it as an album anyway. The Lars then went out, did promos for it, telling people not to buy the album. They eventually released it themselves. He still wasn't happy with it, but it went out. But it's not just that. It is just an amazing album and dead, dead influential. So it came out in 1990. At that time, bear in mind, you've got the rave scene's massive still. The grunge scene's probably just coming in over here. But basically, it's all Happy Mondays, Stone Roses, that kind of sound. These were just stripped back acoustic drums, bass. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, there was the stuff around like tuning the guitar, so the hum of a fridge and all that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, if anyone's not read up on him, read up on him because it is bonkers, like the stuff. But, you know, this was his album and he's like, I think he wrote it and then the rest of the band sort of had to finish off the music and that for it. And
Like some of the old like YouTube clips, like the stuff of them playing like the Pen and Wiggle, the Pig and Whistle, one of the pubs in town. And there's all sorts of like grainy YouTube clips, which really just adds to it from like I think there's one where they're on telly and like showing doing like a live performance in Japan on
That's brilliant, that one.
A chat show. That's so good. There's ones where like they're getting interviewed by Americans and you can just like the humour. It's just I tell everyone to get on and just it's an absolute gold mine on there. There's more stuff than you'd think considering there is only the one album.
Yeah, definitely. And I think there was a question on Twitter a few weeks back saying, you know, where did Britpop start for you? I think for me, it was the first time I heard Boys and Girls by Blur. That was like the first sort of time I got onto it. But I think possibly for older people, I think this album may have kicked it off like well before time. It'll go three or four years before Britpop became a thing. You know, whatever you think about that label, it was a thing. Even though just loads of bands got lumped into it, it was a little bit of a scene. But I think this album probably sort of set the benchmark for it, didn't it? In terms of sound. And I listened to it again the other day, and the first track straight away, I'm thinking even Mick Head was influenced by this.
Yeah,
it sounds a lot like something that could just be easily on Water Pistol by Shaq.
1000%. Yeah. And I also like there's one from about 10 or 15 years ago, and he gets on stage with John McClure. I think Pete Doherty's there in just like the back room of a pub. I don't know if it's in Brum, which is good. There was also when he did a secret set in Manchester called Lee Rude and the Velcro Underpants, and nobody knew it was going to be there. And he did like a secret acoustic set, and it all adds to it. Because there were the rumours a few years back about them coming back together. I think there was pictures of them in the studio and stuff that I don't think anything materialised. But yeah, it would be outstanding if we had any sort of hint of new music from them.
Yeah, we've had that for about the past, how long has it been now? 30-odd years?
Yeah.
We've had that. It's kind of been an on and off thing that, they're going to come back, they're going to do something.
It'll be at some point, yeah. But no, just one of my favourite like albums of all time by a mile. I think the fact that he's a toffee is just like an added sort of bonus, if you will.
It just makes it a little bit better, doesn't it?
Oh God, yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what
because
I mean?
Like they've got enough celebrity fans, so we can have one that's like shrouded in a little bit more mystery and enigma.
And cooler than a lot of them as well. Basically.
Exactly.
That quote as well, isn't it? Supporting Evan is the most Scouse thing you can do.
They don't like that.
They do not like that at all. But yeah,
did he call Liverpool McDonald's?
Did he?
I think that's the first part of the quote. Liverpool FC is like McDonald's. I'm 99% sure.
Oh, that's amazing. I hope so. Yeah, that probably would have been around the time then when they got the McDonald's under the car.
Yeah,
I would imagine
before Krispy Kreme or Dunkin' Donuts, whichever.
Yeah, that is a class shout though. And the fact that it's not being an Evertonian, it's not even part of his personality or his mystique. It's just he just happens to be. He's never played on it really, never like.
No, there's been nothing. Like I've seen people say, like, oh no, he still goes and stuff, but obviously, like to the thing, yeah, it's not like he's on the telly talking about Everton, you know. Like I think has anyone mentioned Burnham as one yet? But there obviously is more. He's probably the highest profile toffee, isn't he?
Yeah.
I would say in the public eye, certainly over the past couple of years. But outside of that, we don't really have sort of anybody else to that level, do we?
No one really shouts about this. I mean, McCartney's meant to be, isn't he? I know Stella McCartney definitely is because I read an interview with her and she said she was.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was. Oh God, it was an offshoot of the Face magazine. Gonna say,
I'll have to check that out. Yeah,
late '90s, early 2000s. I've still got it. I think called Pop, the magazine. And yeah, she did an interview, and it was the headline was like an acronym of her name. So she picked something for each letter, and E was Evan.
Right, because he's been quite non-committal, hasn't he?
Yeah. I think that's the thing about like famous
Evertonians
as well. I
don't think he's like a park end headbanger or anything. I think like it's like the indifferent Everton, but yeah.
Yeah, that is a tremendous shout. And I implore anyone, as Jack said, to go and listen to the album and go and read up about him and go and watch those YouTube clips.
Yeah, just search YouTube Lars, YouTube Lee Mathers, and honestly, the hours will fly by and the music is outstanding as well.
Yeah, that is as good a way to end it as any. Thanks, Jack. Appreciate that. Appreciate your choices. All brilliant choices again. Yeah, if anyone wants to get involved, give us a shout, give us a direct message on the Blue Room AFC on Twitter, or just leave a note in the comments for this one on YouTube. Yeah, cheers, Jack. Thanks again. Thanks to everyone for watching. We will catch you next time on Old New Borrowed Blue. Sports Social Podcast Network.